you're not here, raise your hand. Okay, let's come back to order and item number 14 is funding for the Land Task Force study. And
this one's yours.
This is mine. I put a bunch of background information in your packages. I won't go over all of that, but essentially the legislature has asked the counties to come together with NACO as kind of the spearhead organization on this thing to try and resolve some of these issues that we have getting federal land in a timely manner. And of course we have a couple of little problems just in Story County alone is a little bit that we have. Each of the counties has been asked to come up with about almost just shy of $3,900 to update a couple of studies that were done back in 94 and 96 by Eureka County. So that's essentially the essence of my request is for a sum not to exceed $4,000 for this this update. And ultimately what our goal is to come up with a recommendations for the legislature that will be forwarded on to the governor and also to Washington, along with our partnership with right now four other states that have passed similar legislation. And I think the ultimate goal is to get all of the 11 Western Mountain states to come together collectively on something that we can present to the Congress to try and smooth out the land act, public land acquisitions in the western states. It's right now we're trying it piecemeal, but we've been what about 12 years on getting 12 acres just for the darn sewer plant. We still haven't done that yet. And of course, Pat and Marsh, you were back in Washington here recently and did get the Restore Story bill at least into a subcommittee and have that heard. And but we all know that getting anything through Congress is almost takes an act of Congress to get it through Congress. It's just that difficult. So if you have any questions.
What's your recommendation on this for the funding bill? Do you, from the Story County standpoint and our participation, I believe it's a 17 county action going on in the state. In your opinion, is this one that we need to fund and become? And the other question I'd have, I guess I'll, on top of that, is does it in any way interfere with the success we would have with Mark Amaday's bill? And so if we're in conflict with that, does it, in your opinion, dilute, if you will, our directions there?
To your first question, I would answer yes. What the task force did, and I missed it because we had that special commissioners meeting. To make it simple, they just split the cost of this this update by the divided it by 17, and it came out to $3,800 per county. I think it's well worth the money expended because I think we can, this, if we're going to make any headway in Washington, this is the way to do it. And although we don't have a great deal of public land in this county, I think it's important that we at least support and try to back the other counties because that's the only way you win, is just getting together as a team and putting it together. On your second question, I would say no, this is not going to impact Mark's bill in any way, shape, or form, because in the first place, Congress doesn't even know that we're doing this, and it's going to be probably 18 months before any of this would ever leak back.
So the timing is set up so we would be able to move in both directions?
Yeah, we would go in both, we would pursue it in both.
Ian, if I could add in, because that's a fantastic question I've been asked repeatedly, even at staff meeting this morning. Actually, it complements H.R. 1167 in that we were myopically focused at Mark Congressman Amade's staff's requirements that we only took a very narrow swath through Virginia City and Gold Hill to resolve the clouded title issues. That was all H.R. 1167 does, and it still has a long road to go.
Oh,
you know, it's, like I said, it's still in subcommittee, so we'll see where that goes. Chairman Chevalier and I have talked, and for a little bit of extra background, I don't know that I've ever briefed on, when Commissioner Hess was still on the then commission, and Congressman Amade's office provided us the opportunity for a lands bill, we had grand visions. You know, we wanted property that the treasurer seized, the U.S. treasurer seized from through the IRS actions on Joe Conforti. There is some property contiguous to county-owned property in the area of Gooseberry Mine that we were interested in. We're interested in a better connection from what I would call the outback of the industrial park to 6 miles, so we can facilitate some of these off-road events to get them from your great venue up into Virginia City. But we kept getting told no, no, no from Congressman Amade's office that, you know, if you put all that in, it's going to kill this bill. It will never get out. Actually, one more, by the way, I might add that probably is our highest priority, is we've always wanted the ridge tops up behind us to protect us from BLM going ahead and leasing them out for wind farms. So this bill, I still think our focus, unless you've taken it in a different direction, is not to get all the public lands. We don't want, unless you guys tell me different, we don't want the American Flats mill site. That's an anchor around our neck that even the feds can't fix.
Yeah.
That we don't want. We don't want to immerse ourselves in any of the mining controversy that may or may not be there with CMI and CRA. So we're still trying to pinpoint, but this really is a golden opportunity to add, hopefully collectively with the other Nevada counties, those small pieces and chunks that we would want, the mill pond in Six Mile Canyon, the mine mill. Pristine, great place for some type of water recreation area or something like that. So it's a great focus group. So it does not jeopardize in any way.
Yeah.
And I've been sure along the way that Jason Reeder on Mark's staff is aware of the state's efforts separating those from our efforts for 1167.
Would we fund out of this fiscal budget?
Yeah, we have to. I believe. And we carry it. That's always an issue. I don't want to say we can afford it. Thank goodness it's a $4,000 expenditure, not a $40,000. I would tell you that we always carry a contingency. State law requires that 3% of your total general fund expenses to be held in contingency for this and other things that have happened. We have some opportunities coming up with the receipt of our annual audit for fiscal year ending June 30 of 13. We'll have some opportunities to possibly look at some augmentations, assuming we have higher than anticipated ending fund balances. And we also carry a professional services account, if you will, separate of Mr. Maddox's, that allows us for some of these things as well. So there's a number of places we can turn to help pay our fair share, if you will.
I think it's important to be a part of the Nevada County game, for sure.
Yeah. And then the other thing that Pat just mentioned kind of reminded me that what we're all doing now from at the county levels is preparing maps of the public lands that we want, and it ranges from, I think, Story and Carson City, looking at pretty small amounts of land, to the other end of the spectrum. Lincoln County has said we want every last acre of it, and U.S. Forest Service Fish and Wildlife Service, BLM, they want all of it. They want to take the entire package under. And what we have to do along with our maps is justify the withdrawal of each portion of land that we identify. And so I've written up justifications on that, and I'll be forwarding that in here within the next.
That would be like economic justification or community service justification.
There's each one is a different. Yeah, mm-hmm. Has a different justification on it.
And it's been a while since I visited with Chief Hames on this, so I'll say this cautiously, but in the past, another reason why we didn't want all federal lands is by leaving some federal lands when there are wildland fires. Yep. At least historically, the feds through forestry, U.S. Forest Service, has been very cooperative in helping absorb some of those wildland fire costs if they are on or threaten federal lands. And that threaten becomes pretty helpful to us. We've been notified of instances where U.S. Forestry has dropped smoke jumpers in, you know, probably close to your property or maybe on your property that's threatening theirs, and they put it out and we never see a bill. So there is that added insurance or comfort level that we gain by not asking for every federal land, which I think many of us would be tempted just to get them out and let us do what we want. But strategically, for the reasons I've mentioned, inclusive of the, you know, the threatening federal lands reimbursement process or expense process, there's a multitude of reasons not to want it all, you know.
Yeah, it's a big project. It's going to take quite a while. We have to report back to the next session in 2015. So
a couple of years out. Yeah,
we're looking at time.
Uh-huh.
After that, of course, then it has to be pushed beyond that point, and a lot of work has got to be done between the states and the federal government to determine things like who is going to be responsible if you take over the public lands, either by the counties directly or transfer it to the states. How do you do, who's going to pay for the fire, who's going to take care of the wild horses, who's going to take care of the national parks, you know, if they come into the picture somehow. It's, you know, none of that has yet been even looked at, but this is kind of the initial step to identify what we want. If we had in a perfect world, what land do we want? What do we not want? I.e., in our case, we don't want that old cyanide plant because of the asbestos and things like that.
$4,000 seems like a pretty reasonable buy-in for something. It could be this attacker.
Absolutely, yes. And I have one more thing I was going to tell you, and it just totally slipped my mind. But, you know, again, this is good cooperation with the other counties. I think it's staff would definitely recommend doing it, not just because the chairman has asked us to, but he's very active on this committee, traveling to Eureka and Winnemucca and other places, I believe.
Vegas next month, okay. I think.
So it's a good state task force, and we have an equal voice at the table, so we should have an equal voice.
So first steps of secession, is it?
This is the first step to secession.
You have public testimony?
And I'll, I guess if you gentlemen have no other questions, we'll take public comment. If there is any, if there be any. Dale, come on up. Tell us, give us your feedback.
Because I got two items. I think public comment. And after that, I want to talk about this addition to the issues.
This is only, we're only talking about this.
Just
right
on
now.
This particular item.
This agenda, only about this agendized item.
Sure.
Where are you on your agenda? What item?
I was talking shit about the comments.
No,
I did.
On this agendized item.
Excuse me, sir.
Here you go.
Sure, I'm going to sit back down.
He used about 15 seconds of his three minutes there.
Yep. So. Well, there being no other public comment, I'll take a recommendation on a motion.
Sure. Move for approval of the funding for the Land Task Force Study Update, not to exceed $4,000.
Second motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Let's see, item 15 is claims. Any comments on any of that?
Mr. Chairman, I opted to remove this item from the normal consent agenda because our quarterly payment to the Bucket of Blood is on there for the lease of the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
I might also add, and I believe the Commissioner McBride will probably recuse, but I would also add that I have had discussions with Karen Jenkins, who heads the Nevada Commission on Ethics, mm-hmm. as their director, and I ran the scenario past her. I just need to get an opinion from her in writing. But since it's contractual and was a contract that was voted on not by Commissioner McBride, it is an ongoing obligation of the county, and she's of the verbal opinion, not binding, that there really is no conflict on this, but yeah. as an abundance of caution, we're going to remove it. I believe Commissioner McBride will abstain.
Good point. Okay. Public comment. You're on item number 15, correct?
I think so, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
We're talking about the parking lot next door?
No, we're talking about item number 15.
Well, how come I keep getting mixed up, Mr. Chairman? I thought I was going to talk about the parking lot.
Well, that's what this claim is for, isn't it? For the payment
that's
on...
Correct.
Yes, it is about the parking lot. So.
Okay, yes. I've got a serious problem renting or leasing anything from anybody.
I don't do it. I didn't do it in business, and I don't advocate it for the county. If it was going to be a county and was going to be here for 6 months or a year or 5 years, you might lease something. But it doesn't make any financial sense to me or anybody. I got a daughter that's a certified public accountant, and I run it by her. She says, people don't do that unless there's a personal interest. Now, I think Mr. McBride's doing good as a county commissioner, but I don't want him to be his own landlord. I want that lot next door. If it wasn't his, that'd still be a problem with me leasing it and renting it. I don't care who, if Joe Dokes or if that nice guy, Mr. Quigley owned it, I'd say, hey, that's poor business. We can do better as a county. Somebody's got to understand that you should be cost effective with my money. Every time I try to reach in my money, in my pocket for money, I can't get my hand in it because the county's hand's already there with chokehold on my money. And I just think we've got to figure out a way that we can own that lot or two lots down or somewhere where these people can park, and we're not just going to just sit here year after year because the prices are just going to go up, and it's wrong. I'm here for 22 years, my place I own, my kids are going to own it, my grandkids, somebody's going to own it, so there's going to be beaches around here or some other name that started with us paying taxes. And I just think that somebody has got to let Lance, he understands business, he understands money. When it would come to $400 last meeting, him and Marshall, both as businessmen, said, let's get this behind us.
Okay.
Am I time up?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll rebut. This is already a contractual obligation that the prior commission has approved. Then we must be guilty of bad practices across the county because, as I mentioned before, with the sheriff's help, Canyon GID has been a very good landlord on leasing us space on their lot for our substation operations up there.
Okay, any other public comment? Motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the claims as submitted.
We'll second.
Aye.
And I'll abstain.
Aye. Okay, community development.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. Community Development is recommending to approve items A, B, C, D, and E, and that would be Cintas Corporation, B&amp;G Beauty, Thompson Garage Door, Tan Corporation, and Les Schwab Tire Centers of Nevada.
Which might appear on your agenda as items HIJKMI. So.
The most recent letter is that.
You're recommending approval of all five listed, correct?
Okay, no, because item F, wide open, is going to be continued.
Okay. How about we just say move to continue wide open and approve all the others, because we have
that sounds
an
great.
Agenda issue.
So. Perfect.
Any motion?
Move to approve all items except F.
Second.
And F would just be a continuation.
I think we need a vote, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Right. And the motion may be
and
motion
I'll move to continue item F.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just to make the record clear, my agenda has item M.
Yeah, I think so the record's clear. We're continuing wide open as
yes.
listed on the agenda, regardless of what numeric or alpha yeah. we're working with and approving all others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I have it. Okay, so they're all approved except for wide open, which we will continue. All right, now we've moved into... You got more?
Nope, thank you.
Okay. All right, we're in public comment. Public comment. Who's got public comment? There comes Nicole up.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident, Story County resident. Two things. One, I had made an agenda request, which Pat kindly responded that he was needing to do more detailed research on with respect to the quarter cent sales tax extension for the VMT. That's great, because I think we need an update on where the monies are. But I also want to be clear that I'd like to understand how, when, there was an interlocal agreement that was signed in May of 2010 in which it stated, among other things, that if the railroad, through ticket sales, was not able to meet its overhead, that any monies from the quarter cent sales tax would be diverted to the operation. And in the ballot itself on which we voted, it specifically states, any money raised in Story County will stay in Story County.
Correct.
And so that's where I have a point of confusion, because even being on that team, the task force that helped put this together to go on the ballot, et cetera, I was not aware that that was a stipulation. We don't know how well that railroad is being run. We don't know if it's operationally sound. We don't know if it's efficient. And so to have our quarter cent go towards an operation that we really have no control over, I don't understand. So I just want to be clear that it's, yes, I want an accounting of the money. I think we deserve an accounting of the money, as well as how come in the ballot that particular element of the interlocal agreement, which was known in May, did not appear in November as something for the voters to also consider. So that's one thing. You said we talked.
Hang around.
Okay. The second thing is last commissioner's meeting, Mr. Quigley had it on the agenda to get to understand or to request that the county have a policy on personal use of county property. And you said that you would take it under advisement since there wasn't any. Well, you'll be happy to know you don't have to take it under advisement because you have one. Administrative Policy 006, and I'll give you, Pat, a copy of this. I'd like to ask that it be attached to the minutes of this meeting. You have an Administrative Policy 006 to establish a policy on employee use of county property. You have in place a policy 006 around the employee use of county property, where it stipulates that it's to be used for work-related purposes. Now, the county commissioner can make exceptions to that, but as from an employee relations standpoint, if you make too many exceptions, the policy becomes void. So I would caution you on making too many exceptions. So I've submitted that just for your reminder. In addition to that, you did state when I asked you if you had a policy around use of IT resources, and you do. That's policy 020. And in that, it's very explicit, which I would suggest you add to your other policy, that information technology resources within Story County and our residents expect that the assets be used to support the county's mission of public service. And it goes into a lot of detail that it allows some incremental personal use, but you can't use community resources, whether it be computers or anything else, for personal gain, for personal use, some incremental use perhaps to do your own taxes, but you can't do other people's taxes and charge them for it while using the county resources. So I've provided you a copy of that. I think that the voters need to know you do have these policies. You also have under number 1001 what the consequences are for disciplinary action for violating any of these policies. Number 4, there is a consequence that says unauthorized possession, removal, or use of the employer's property, including but not limited to funds, records, etc., will be dealt with from a disciplinary standpoint. So you've acted good for you, you've got a consequence. The last thing I added to this package is that I think that the you get a lot of questions and condemnations around ethics and those types of things. I think that your voters would be happy to see and need to know that you also have a policy and procedure around ethical standards. It's 212. There are a number of things in there around conflict of interest, how no officials shall use their position as an employer to get unwarranted privileges, preferences, and exemptions. It talks about how no official or employee shall use governmental time, property, including monies or funds, equipment, or other facility for benefit of his or her financial or personal interests. It's quite detailed. And so I think that if you didn't know they existed, they did. You don't have to take it under advisement to create a policy for user, for employee use of property. You have one. You just need to administer it consistently and fairly. And I think that the voters need to know that you have an ethics policy that you all know and are going to abide by. Thank you. Very good.
I'd like to thank Nicole for probably the best public comment I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, you asked staff to take it under advisement, and I'm probably 10 steps behind her. I was aware clearly of the policies, but in doing the research and going back and listening to the tapes specifically of what Mr. Quigley asked for.
You could have handed him this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You've done a better job than I could have in terms of the advisement. I thank you. That's the purpose of that.
You're welcome. But I want to stress again, when you have a policy, it's only as good as your fair and consistent administration of it. If you make an exception, you make a note of why you make that exception. If you make too many of them, the policy becomes invalid. The other caution I would make to you is that if you make exceptions for management only, your employees, and in particular the bargaining unit, aren't going to like it. So that's really my point here, is you've got policies, use them, there are always exceptions, but be cautious with them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. Whom else has public comment? Mark has public comment. You got your hand up just a couple of seconds before Dale did.
Mark Joseph Phillips, Story County resident. Public comment. On the same line, it was announced today by Ms. Nevin that at 372 South Street, C Street, will be the emergency management office next to the Cafe Del Rio. There's a big parking lot there. I'd like to see that marked as public parking now that it's going to be a public building there. That's right next to the Cafe Del Rio. It's not currently marked as public parking. And for the fiscal year 2013, the audit, at the last meeting, Mr. Gallagher said something about the audit. If the audit's been submitted to the county, I'd like to see it. And statute makes that audit public record 30 days after you get it. I hope we don't have to wait too much longer as public to be able to go through the audit, especially with the meeting next meeting being canceled. Been researching the nonprofit or exempt liquor licenses. It's quite a challenge going to the Secretary of State's office and finding out whether a not-for-profit corporation is got all their ducks in a row. It's a real challenge. Been working on that, and I'll get back to you on that. And it's been 2 years now. I don't know if you all knew Rick Hoover. It's a property down Washington Street, 270 East Washington. I got quite a pile of junk piled up there, and a nice place cleared out to put a big dumpster. The county's owned the property for years. I would volunteer to fill a dumpster with trash. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Who owns that parking lot?
We do.
Oh. Cool.
Item number 17.
Public comment, yep.
Thank you, sir. And then before we get started on that, after I do my pre-mission, I would like to talk about my disability and what you folks are going to do for me at Mark Twain meetings, because I need help.
Okay, they're going to do surveys in Mark Twain, and there's only two ways to find out who lives there now, and one of them's a power coming, and one of them's a school. We have 75 children down there, and parents are usually better to participate in community activities than retirees and people that's just in and out. And we've got a lot of short sales going on down there, probably five that I'm watching. People move in, start cleaning up, a couple of months, they're gone. The short sale didn't take. Somebody else come in and they build a ramp for an old man and a deck. 2.5 months later, they're gone. Short sale didn't take. Now we've got other people moving in there with a bunch of kids and that probably won't take either. So these people are using the voter registration list to try to send notices and get people coagulated. It don't work. You've got to go to the power company and the school. The school can put you in touch with those parents and give you addresses and names, and those people will get involved a heck of a lot easier than most folks. And we're having a big turmoil down there for the last 5 years in Mark Twain. I don't know if it's countywide, but down there we have. It's back to when I moved in 22 years ago. It's that gritty right now. And the people down there, If they couldn't make it up here, you folks don't run any buses to the senior center from Mark Twain. And all summer, the kids can't get to the swimming pool because they can't get up there on their skateboard. And it just looks like they're the forgotten folks down there. I'm still doing good, you know. I still get two meals a day. And is it only a minute and 40 minutes? Oh, yes. I dropped the biggest part of my note. Okay. The community chest, the cow bus. Those people are great. They draw these kids in. We've got 75 kids in school coming up here. A third of those, 27, 28, 29, are out of county. They're from Lyon County. Because they get hooked up with a cow bus when they're kids, when they're preschoolers, and they hear how good it is up here, and they want to, and up there across the street, three times a day, those parents come up there in those nice cars out of the subdivision and drop their kids off and wait till the bus picks them up. They come up here to go to school, and that's good. So anything you can do with a community chest anywhere, $1 will get you $4 worth of goods other than have the county do it. And we've still got weeds sitting in front of that building down there, and this committee they talk about that I'm going to go down and meet with tonight if I can get a seat is only for that building. And we've got the park sitting right there. For at least 5 years, the water hydrant has been broken. It's one of those, the open like that and shut it off and it down drains. And it's been broken and it can't cost $100 to repair it. But people can't use that park and clean up and do anything without any water. and it just sits there, and that park is getting zero use. It's just nothing. And they cleaned it all up and picked up weeds all around it, and the strip people won't use it. And there's a bulletin board there. We need a community bulletin board in Mark Twain, because those people, a lot of them, don't even know what county they're in. When they come out there and rent a place, they don't know who is and who ain't. And we're turning over a terrible amount of people. And people can't get to the doctor. They can't get to the store for food. My wife takes people to the doctor. And I bring it up to Jennifer about how to get things built. If the roof leaks, if you've got four, there's already a federal agency puts money into the state, and the state puts it out there. They send people out there. A friend of hers, my wife, befriended her, a gal, and she got a roof patched inside. They come in, they redone her doors, all of her windows, and sealed up the seal and put a furnace in because she's low. Now, does the county do any of this? No. Does Dale Beach and his wife have to go around and find out what these people qualify for this, these services, and tell them, hey, here's a phone number, call this person here and find out what they did for them? And I don't, you know, that's not my job. Why isn't somebody in the county putting this up? Because we're the poor down there. Those people down there, a lot of them, at least a third of them are on programs, food stamps and all that stuff. And that's all I got on that. Now can I talk about my disability? Okay, turn that thing off, Mr. Chairman. This is a new deal. My disability, I don't even have to talk to you about it. I have it. I live it. And I need a chair over at the community center that I can sit in over. If I were there, so sit down here. Well, I can't sit on that hard stuff. I just can't make it. And at the state, I'll tell you a little story about the state Board of Equalization. I cried to them. They've got a lounge out there for people to sit around in. Nice soft. They've got pads like this. I can put my back and almost lay down and read in my Kindle. And they send somebody out. 10 minutes, Mr. Beach, you're up. Now, would that be hard? Can they tell me if they can't provide me somewhere that I can sit? Because I'd like to listen to what they got to say. But maybe somebody could get the cell phone. Think, Dale Beach, 10 minutes, public comment. Think about that. And, you know, it might get to where somebody's going to have to come over and get me in the wheelchair because that's where I'm headed. I'm getting out of where I'm having trouble standing and walking. I have to hang on stuff when I move around, and I don't know where they call it vertigo. They give you medicine for it, but it doesn't help. And I'll end up in a wheelchair, but I still want to participate. And I might be calling the sheriff. And, Sheriff, could you send a deputy down, load me in a car, and get me up to the goddamn county commissioner meeting? I want to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I love y'all.
Come on, Chris.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Witten, Mr. Maddox, I'd like to follow up on the last speaker's comment. My name is Chris Thompson. I'm a veteran of the United States Army, regular Army, as well as the Army National Guard, with 4.5 years service in the Folded Gap on the Iron Curtain, including Desert Storm. And I mention my military service just as a preface to my statement that in the military, you tend to go to a lot of communities, and you see a lot of local governments, a lot of bureaucracies in state and federal level, as well as county level. I am new to this county. I have worked at TRI for 2 years, and Mr. Gilman, I'm not here as their representative today. I'm here on my own behalf, and on my own behalf as someone who is moving his, I'm in the process now of moving my permanent residence up here. And I've, but in the process of working up here for the last 2 years, pretty much full-time commuting, I just have some observations as an outsider of the county government, how it functions, the folks here who've proven me to be warm and friendly and welcoming to someone new to this area. Over the last 6 months, I've seen a small group, a very small group, but a very vocal group of critics of this county. I've seen occasions, none today, but I've seen occasions previously where this small group of folks come in and they badmouth the county, badmouth the county commissioners, badmouth people on county staff. Mr. Gilman lately has been a particular target of this small group. This faction seeks to embarrass people in the media with statements. They claim to be promoting ethics and good government. But for this small group, I point out three facts that cannot be disputed. Fact one, this group makes false claims. They published false claims in local media, and there's no dispute about that. It's been proven. Number two, this group, when they have a criticism, they rarely engage directly with county personnel to try to fix it in a constructive, cooperative way. They go running to the media to get their name either in the paper, on TV, on some website. Those three facts indicate to me that this local group, it'd be up to the public to decide what those facts mean, but to me it indicates this local group is not intent on ethics in government or improving government. Rather, they're intent on what I would call aggrandizement, where you blow up you expand your own reputation and notoriety by belittling someone else. And in local government, state government, or federal government, where someone seeks aggrandizement, Mr. Chairman, to me that calls into question everything that they say and their positions and that they seek to assert. I was up here. I was working for TRI in another state 12 years ago, 13 years ago. I came up here, toured, met Mr. Gilman out at a trailer out at TRI. And I remember this county 12 years ago, Mr. Chairman. There was sand and sagebrush at TRI. The county government barely had enough money to fund basic resources and basic public service, like first responders, basic public record keeping. They had no ability to take care of their own folks through government help. They had no ability to really engage the public because they couldn't hire staff. Here we are 12 years later. You have brought in this county government working together, has brought in 160 companies into TRI alone, let alone all the small businesses here up and down C Street. Those 160 companies include Fortune 100 companies, Mr. Chairman, like Walmart, PetSmart, Tire Rack, Randa, Zulily. Those companies would not have come here if the county government wasn't doing something right. So for those critics that come in here and seek to criticize and tear down county government at every opportunity, I think the vote of confidence by those Fortune 100 companies speaks volumes about the quality, not only in the past of the county government, but the current county government as businesses are continuing to flock in here. Does the county government have some scars and some warts and some baggage? Obviously. Who doesn't? This person behind this podium probably has more scars and baggage than most folks in this room, and we all do. But this county government has a record of success. 160 companies, 5,000 jobs, just more than the population. I'd ask this group that criticizes the county every chance they get, name one county in the United States that has had this record of success. Name just one. There isn't any. Now, on top of this record of success in creating jobs and giving livelihoods for their people, the charitable, I have never seen a county take care of their own like this one. They may call Tennessee the volunteer state. This is the volunteer county. If you want to volunteer on something, They show up at your door and line up. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, Mr. Chairman. The amount of giving and taking care of their own. I point out my boss, even when my boss is maybe sitting in this room in a commission meeting and people are trying to tear him down or badmouth him in the paper, there are van loads of food going to Lockwood and Mark Twain every week. There's charitable events being sponsored. Other folks in this room have given their time. The senior night out that was held. People give their time in this county, and it is really something to see. And I'd like to finish, Mr. Chairman, by mentioning two things. Number one, this group that constantly comes in here says some things that can only be characterized as smear. How many jobs have they brought to this county? Ever. How much effort have they given to charity in this county? Either through giving, through time, putting on charity events, doing things to build this county. So I Mr. Chairman, I just ask that group maybe to, with all this effort they spend sitting here at this podium, going and talking to Channel 4, going to talking to the local papers, How about putting some of that time into instead of tearing down and publicly embarrassing this great county and this community, how about putting some of that time and effort into building and constructive things and cooperation to help make this county better? Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. One of the best public comments I've heard in, I don't even know when. How do you top that?
Well, sometimes we forget to address the positive that's going on. It's a real easy thing in human nature to find criticism and go to the critical.
Yep.
You know, you have to spend some time reflecting on all of the positive things that happened at this time.
Well,
thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
Anyone else? I think we lost part of our audience, huh? All right. Commissioners, anything you'd like to add?
No, I've enjoyed this meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's great. Morris? Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Congressman Amade's office had called and let us know that for the second Congress, he went ahead and resubmitted his Restore Story Counties Act bill. It wasn't heard in the last Congress, but he resubmitted this time, and it's, of course it was H.R. 1167, and asked if someone from Story County could come back to Washington and testify before a congressional subcommittee. And the chairman and Commissioner Gilman were unavailable, so County Manager Witten and myself went back to Washington 2 weeks ago at the request of Congressman Amade, and we were guaranteed two seats at the witness table to testify before the committee, and the committee had all four of Nevada's congressional congressmen on this committee, and it's a very large subcommittee. And when we got there, one witness seat had been removed because Las Vegas was there and they needed three seats. So Mr. Witten went ahead and testified before the congressional hearing, as he most eloquently gave a great history on Virginia City, Story County, Gold Hill, and he submitted his statement in writing and was able to paraphrase it. They only give you 5 minutes to speak. And it went very well, and it was very well received. This is the first step. Getting the subcommittee hearing is a big step, and so with any luck at all, it'll go forward, and before this Congress adjourns in another year and a half or so, maybe we'll get the Restore Story Counties Act passed by Congress. So anyway, it was going to Washington is always a thrill back there. It was thrilling there with the car chase and everything and gunfire, but we took cover in a neighborhood restaurant and watched it on TV. But,
it's not the exact true story, but it's a pretty good approximation.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to thank the taxpayers for affording us the trip to Washington.
Before you adjourn, and we are able to provide this for the public as well as staff, I just got an update. We've been endeavoring to schedule a flu shot clinic for Virginia City. This is separate of what the senior center does. You really need to be on the St. Mary's health plans to have this be cost effective, but they have some nominal charge for those that aren't. But we will have a flu shot clinic scheduled for Monday, November 4th at the Fire Training Center from 8:30 to 9:30. And nurses from the St. Mary's system will be providing flu shots and pneumonia shots as well.
All righty. Well, I don't have anything additional, so looks like lunchtime, huh? Let's get out of here.